man. It's been a crazy fall. It's been a crazy fall. And have you been gone? I know I was gone once, and you were on with Amy. And then Northwestern has moved a lot of their games to morning when they still hadn't announced it. So anyway, we're glad to be back. That's the good news.
We have more good news.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
How do you say girlfriends in French?
Mes amis.
Mes amis.
Okay.
Hey, mes amis.
You put an E in it, and so that's how you know it's girl. But when you say it, you can't tell the difference.
Okay. All right. Well, we're taking a trip, and we want a bunch of you to come along
with us. It's an amazing trip. We had one trip years and years ago to Greece and Turkey. This one, I'm so psyched about.
It's a land trip. The last one was a cruise. This one is on land, and it's in a lovely, lovely prairie. It's the south of France.
We're going to be in Provence, and we're going to be there for 9 days. The trip takes off on May 10th,
right? Flying into Marseille.
Yeah. And we're going to stay in only two cities, so you don't have to pack and unpack all the time. We're going to stay in Aix-en-Provence and Lyon. We have fabulous things to see in terms of places whose names I can't even pronounce.
And it's, you're the one that speaks
Village.
French.
I know.
Les Gorges du Verdon. That Verdon. Looks really cool. And that looks like
that's
Grand
like the
Canyon.
Grand Canyon
right.
of France.
Right.
We're going to see the lavender fields. We're going to see an amazing abbey. When we're in Marseille, we're going to walk around the harbor and
see some medieval villages.
And drink bouillabaisse, which was invented there.
Drink bouillabaisse
well,
or
it's a
eat
soup.
Bouillabaisse?
Well, it's a soup.
Oh, okay.
Well, I suppose eat.
Yeah, because I was thinking of drinking wine.
Okay.
There will be a lot of that.
Yeah, you're such a wine girl.
Right.
And all the information is on our Facebook page. And then what you do is, and I think we put this on our Facebook page too, you call Steve, whose number is?
847-606 or 606-6065. Write it down. 847-606-6065 or send him an email, steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. And go to the, Kristen put up a link on the Facebook page. There's two pictures on the Facebook page of some beautiful places that we'll be. And the itinerary is also up there. So you can look and see, oh, I've always wanted to visit Roussillon and the Boris Village, right, or Saint-Rémy. So anyway, it looks like a beautiful, it's not to big places like Paris or London. It's to the beautiful rural villages. Well, Marseille is hardly rural.
It's a big port.
Right, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
Right. And actually, Kathy, you have been there.
I have been to Marseille. That we stopped there one day when I was on the trip with Ian this summer.
And it's unlike, I mean, I was lucky enough to live over in France, but I never got down to the south. I don't know why. It's and would you say the southwest corner, southern central portion,
right,
of the country, and yeah, it's going to be glorious.
Yeah, it's going to be a great trip. It'll be a great
and
fun
we took
trip.
A lot of time in planning it.
Oh my God.
When Donald Trump says that all of his professors were picked by him, all of these places, that wasn't true. But all of these places
poor
have
Steve.
Been
every other day. Steve, how about if we do this instead of this?
Right.
How about if we move this hotel from here to here?
Right.
So bless Steve Bertrand's heart. He really worked with us on this.
Right.
Okay.
And we were next.
Yeah. So check it out. In the meantime, we've been gone so long. Has anything happened while we were gone?
I don't know. Maybe it's time for a...
Speak your piece?
A short speak your piece. Because things have happened since... Certainly, Kathy, you haven't been here for 3 weeks, right?
It's been some time, yes. So give us a call at 312-981-7200. You remember the number and you remember the deal. Speak your piece gives you 30 seconds to speak your piece about anything. And we're happy to take your calls and then...
You know, if anything's on your mind about
right,
changes that are going on
right,
or anything,
anything
like that.
Right,
yeah.
It's you're concerned about whatever, your car.
What could that be?
Right. 312-981-7200. Come back and speak your piece. Doesn't it? The elevation. Yeah, we wondered, we've been gone for a while, and we just wondered if anything's happened while we were gone. So we're giving you all a chance to call in and speak your piece. Remember, you get 30 seconds, and we keep track. This is Ruben. Where are you calling from, Ruben?
I'm calling from Ecuador in South America, and I'm a fan of WGN.
Wow!
How did you find WGN?
Wait a minute, wait a minute. My 30 seconds are counting?
No, this is not...
Okay.
How did you find us?
Now I can speak more. Now I can speak more slowly. Okay, ask.
How did you find us?
Well, listen, I'm a researcher. I'm an English teacher. I have lived all my life in South America. I work here, and I go to the United States every year to talk about my research.
Okay.
On Cockney linguistics, which are the words that look like Spanish, you know?
Right.
Uh-huh. And I went for the first time. Well, I have traveled throughout the United States, and this year, it was time for Chicago. So I went to Chicago, and for the first time, I saw that cool building, the Transformer buildings. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I started listening to WGN and about the weather, because before I got to Chicago, I started listening, to know about the weather.
You listen online?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I got to Chicago, and after 3 days, I was back in my country. But for some reason, I felt like I had to keep on listening and listening. And I'm still listening.
Well, we're glad you called in, and you're kicking off Speak Your Piece for us today. And Ruben, your 30 seconds starts now. Speak your piece.
Hello, my name is Ruben Moran from Ecuador. Please visit www.cognates.org. It's a website in which you can learn English through Spanish, because there are more than 25,000 words that look like
Ruben.
Ruben, do you know what the concept of Speak Your Piece is?
He probably hasn't had a chance. So what we're going to tell you is, Speak Your Piece is if you have an opinion
that you're
about
ticked off.
That you're ticked off about something that's gone on in your life, or you get to say, I'm really upset about
whatever.
Fill in the blank.
So you've got 10 seconds. What are you really upset about, Ruben?
I'm upset about being too optimistic.
Okay. Get in line, Ruben. Thanks for calling, and thank you for listening from Ecuador in South America. This is Josh. Josh, speak your piece.
Hi, girls.
Hey.
I know I'm a little late to the party on this one, but I'm upset that Kevin and Winnie didn't end up together on Wonder Years. I feel like if Kevin and Winnie can't make it, then I mean, I love my wife, and we're going to make it, but who else can't make it if Kevin and Winnie can't make
Good
it?
Darn point. Thank you, Josh.
And right about being late to the party, but it was nice to hear about Kevin and Winnie.
This is Justin. Justin, speak your piece.
Wow, I feel horrible about this. But first off, congratulations to new Cardinal Blaze. Secondly, if seven white men had pulled a black man out of a car and beat him for his political views, all seven of them would be charged with federal hate crime. We had the opposite happen here in Chicago. We should have them charged with a federal hate crime and keep it fair.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
What?
I don't know. Linda, speak your piece. Linda?
You've got Lily.
Linda, you there, hon?
Hi, is this Linda, too?
Yeah, Linda.
Okay.
Speak your piece.
Just complaining about all the high taxes that Rahm Emanuel is levering on us seniors who live on fixed incomes. It's killing us.
Okay,
yeah,
what's the latest one that's killing you?
Oh, my goodness. Now, well, I know this is probably Periwinkle, but she raised the tax on the soft drinks, which is ridiculous.
Okay, well, it wasn't just her. It was the whole county board.
Right.
Okay, thank you, Linda. All right, we're doing Speak Your Piece because we think stuff probably happened while we were gone, and we want to give you a chance to speak your piece. This is Karen. Karen.
Hi, I'm upset that my taxes are going to go way down and everybody else's are going to go up.
Why are yours
really
going to go down?
Upset.
Are you rich?
Because, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to be blunt, yes. And it's real estate. I bet you'll start paying us money. But the rest of you, including the caller that just got off, wait and see what they do to her Social Security and Medicare. Go
okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, okay, would snark be the word for that? Would sarcasm be the word for that call? Probably.
Yes.
I think she was probably being very sarcastic. All right.
No, I know, but
right.
That was unexpected, but my point of view, very valid call.
All right. Hey, Lily, speak your piece.
Yes, I can understand people putting up their outside Christmas decorations when the weather was warm.
Yes.
But it is irritating that they have them lit before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so your rule is you don't light them before Thanksgiving, and then when do you stop lighting them?
Well, I'm the type of person that you need to, Christmas starts on Christmas Day, and you leave them up the 12 days of Christmas, and then they're done.
Okay, so we're not going to be calling you in March saying take your Christmas decorations down.
No, that's irritating, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lily.
Okay. I'm right. Stunned.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, because
312-981-7200.
With the exception of the one call about taxes, none of the calls on Speak Your Peace were about that thing that happened on November 8th, which maybe everyone's gotten over it before I have.
Well,
I get more depressed each day.
All right. Judy, you have 30 seconds. Speak your piece.
All I can say is I'm a little scared, can't imagine what it's going to look like, a little hopeful, and then, like Ruben, feel I'm an idiot for being hopeful. And every time a new post is announced, I go and read about the person because I don't know them all, and then I get anxiety. And I don't know whether I need to take another Klonopin or just suck it up.
All right.
Thank you. Would you like to say anything?
Yes, I would.
Okay, here's your 30 seconds.
I would like to say, well, somebody please take Donald Trump's Twitter account away from him. If this man is going to put a Twitter out every single time, a tweet out, every time somebody says something negative about him or his administration, he's not going to have time to go to the bathroom. Just stop it. Grow some...
cojones.
But that's right. Spanish, grow some so balls and get some thick skin and get used to the idea that when you're the president of the United States, you can't go whining to the Twitterverse every time somebody does something that you don't like. Mike Pence is your vice president, and if the Hamilton cast wants to acknowledge him in the audience and say, we hope that your administration is fair to everybody, then they will.
And that's not even a criticism.
Kathy and Judy back. We're just giving a few people 30 seconds each to speak their piece. We'll kick off with Barbara. Speak your piece.
Hi, I'm an Uber driver, and I provide a service. I've done over 1,000 trips since April, and I would just like to have everybody be aware that Uber does not have a place on their app for tipping. You tip your servers, you tip your hairstylists, you tip your taxi drivers. I would ask that you please, if you're happy with our service, give us a little tip.
All right.
I always do.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. I've been doing Lyft. I did Lyft when I was just
away. That has a place for a tip.
It does have a place for a tip. Marilyn, right. Speak your piece.
Hi, just a quick response. Since the Hamilton production was brought up, this is America. They have a right to use that pulpit. But just to keep it in perspective, this is also the production that when I put out the first casting call said, words to the effect that white people need not apply. So I just keep the whole situation in perspective. Thank you.
Okay.
I think Aaron Burr is white.
Diane, speak your piece.
Yes, I'm concerned with the outcome of the election about a new bill that I just read about in Iowa called Suck It Up Buttercup.
Okay.
A congressman is proposing to pass a bill in Iowa where universities and schools that provide outlets for students who are upset about the outcome of the election will lose money if they do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Diane.
Wow.
This is Varsi. Hey, Varsi, speak your piece.
Good morning. I am beyond upset and angry over the results of the presidential election. I can't believe my fellow Americans voted for hate.
Well, half of them. Not everybody.
It
was
not
pretty
less
close.
Than half.
Right.
Yeah.
It was pretty less than half.
But,
right.
You know, the whole Electoral College thing. So,
okay. Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak my piece.
All right. Thank you, Varsi.
Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. Well, we knew we had to do that. We had to do a little bit of speak your piece. Because
I'm surprised we didn't get anybody who was a Trump supporter because we had so many 1 week after he made the comment on Access Hollywood. And... Maybe they're just so happy they don't have to listen to our show for the occasional
They're not all so happy they all text. Go look at the texts.
That's what I was going to say. They don't call. They just hide behind their keyboards.
Right. He got jeered, booed, and lectured at a musical. So much for peaceful transition of power. Hey, Joe Biden showed up at Hamilton, too, some time ago, and Joe Biden got a standing ovation. So, you know, the Hamilton cast doesn't have any control over what the audience does. And what they did, I think, was very respectful. They just said, you know, we wish your administration will. I don't have the exact here, but there's a lot of
angry texts.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of angry texts, and most of them are basically suck it up, buttercup.
Whistle while you work.
what was in your head in that second part?
Oh,
when you heard that.
Is a jerk.
Stevenson's a jerk. Remember back when Adlai Stevenson was running against Eisenhower? This song was a popular song at the time, and I just remembered, and I haven't thought of that in years. Whistle while you work, Stevenson's a jerk, Eisenhower's got the power, dun, 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 dun. Wow. That's taking up important space in my brain.
Otherwise, I'm sure that you would be a nuclear physicist.
No kidding. All right.
So the reason that that was being played is I don't whistle when I do my most detested chore. We're asking you what your most detested, either weekly or daily or whatever chore that you have to do. It's never going to go away. And mine is, I hate with every fiber in my being, blow drying my hair. And the more I hate it, the longer it takes, and the worse my hair's been looking.
Really? Your hair looks cute today.
I have a chunk that's horizontal on this side. I have to keep plastering it down.
Well, that's what hairspray's for.
Anyway, and that, my most hated chore.
I thought you meant like household chores.
Well, any kind of chore, personal chore or whatever. And the other is thinking up a meal. That just kills me.
Remember when you had to do it for like kids and husband and stuff like that?
Right. And I would just, I didn't like it then, but I could whip off five meals for four people night.
We have a caller who can beat that by a mile.
All right. Your most hated chore. And then, well, here, Kathy's too. What do you just
thing
detest?
Thing you'd hate to do the most.
Hello, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Wait until you hear this one.
Okay.
You know,
what's
your most detested chore? I don't know if you call this a chore or not, but my old dog, anyone that had medium-sized dogs, sometimes their anal gland gets clogged.
My dog has that.
Yeah, anyway, so my ex-wife, she's a doctor, so she didn't care where she stuck her fingers. So, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks, you know.
She'd unclog Fluffy's anal gland.
I'd hold the front end, and she'd take care of the back end. And
I imagine Fluffy, that was something Fluffy wasn't that happy about.
Oh, you know what's hysterical is she knew, you know, when you go in, when she hear the gloves come out of the rubber box, okay? And then, you know, the tail would go down, and then when she'd hear the cover of, like, either Vaseline or whatever it was come off, she was hysterical. She knew what was coming, you know? So, anyway, that's my disgusting or most detested thing.
Now, do you still have to do that, or did your ex-wife get the dog?
No, that dog traded those dogs in for kids.
Okay, wait a minute. Who got the dog?
Oh, that was years ago. They finally had to put them down.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
That's all. Just, you know, circle of life, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
okay.
I hired someone
I was
for
just
that.
To say, somehow, Judy, I don't see you doing that job.
No.
He goes to the vet for that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And it hasn't happened in a lot of years. What's your least favorite chore that you have to do? I mean, if it's paying taxes, well, that's only once a year. But planning meals is relentless. And blow drying, I do my hair every other day, and I'm dreading tomorrow.
Really? It's like 20 minutes, right?
I know, but it hurts my head because my hair is thinning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the master of my very excellent hair dryer.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's just your not favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. It just seems like, you know, at least in the olden days, our moms had it done, and it was once a week.
Oh, right. They had their weekly.
Yeah. And now we're into hyper clean hair.
Right.
And, you know, it's just too frequent. That's what I think.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can text us or you can call us and tell us what around the house, with whether it's house cleaning chores
or your job,
day-to-day stuff. 630 said, Judy, if you hate meal planning, you need to try Home Chef. It's the greatest thing ever. That's probably like Blue Apron,
uh-huh,
or those ones that they send you all the stuff.
Blue Apron is nice, but you have to cook it.
Oh, okay. Does Home Chef cook it?
I don't know.
Because Seattle Sutton, you just have to, heat it up, I think.
Uh-huh. I sometimes have counted heating as cooking.
All right. This is Mike. Mike, what do you hate doing?
I'm a hairstylist, been for years, and the one thing I hate to do is I have to clean out the tint bottles, you know, with the pipe cleaner to get the tint out of the nozzles. And
are you being punished at your salon?
No, oh no, it's me. I'm doing it. I'm the owner, so I have to do it. But it's just the point of, you know, it's just time consuming because you got to rinse them out, and then you got to, you know, you got to use the disinfectant, and then you got to get this little like brush and pipe clean, you know, get it through there and dry them, and you know, it's just a chore in itself.
You don't like it.
It's time consuming. It's time consuming. I wish they could make like a disposable bottle and just throw it away like we do with, you know, when you go and get the boxed ones, but
okay,
no,
Mike,
we have to reuse these.
Mike, they always say that if you see a need, that's how people are millionaires. They see, you know what would really be great if we had blank. Now, you say if they had disposable stuff, do you have the wherewithal to start to think about that?
Well, I mean, they do have the disposable ones. Like if somebody's going to go to the store and buy, you know, the box colors, and then they just throw them away.
But you buy in bulk, right?
We reuse them. So, you know, it's more cost effective.
Okay.
Well, that's
all right.
The cleaning process of it. I wish they could do it just where you could throw the nozzle away.
Well,
you know, and just they said would sell the nozzles and you keep the bottle, you know.
Mike, there's the need. There's the need. I want you to be a millionaire.
There you go.
I want to see you on Shark Tank. Go on Shark Tank selling nozzles.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Glad you were listening.
Bye-bye.
312-981-7200 is the number. What's the chore that you absolutely hate? Dave.
Yeah, once a year, our town does a garage sale, and I got to pull out everything that hasn't been used for the last year, bring it back out again, set it all up, and then after the day's over, I get to pick up 95% of that stuff.
That didn't sell.
Uh-huh. What is the one that you think is the biggest pink elephant or white elephant, whatever color that elephant is?
I'd say the worst thing to get rid of is plates and silverware. Nobody seems to want them anymore.
Everybody seems to have that, right?
And then the other sad part about the garage sale is you got 10 cents on it, and they say, will you take a nickel? And
I was right, yeah.
That was a very passionate rendering of your problem.
There you go.
Dave, I never thought about that, but why don't you stop having the garage sales?
Well, I like your idea. I wish somebody, a millionaire, would come by and just say, hey, I'll buy all your junk for a really, really reduced price. Hell, I might even pay him to take it.
And I'll take it away. Exactly.
Yeah,
okay. Dave, thank you.
Bye.
The thing you really hate, we'll talk to Roger. Hey, Roger.
Yes, flossing your teeth.
Okay.
So you actually do what the dentist says, or are you a dentist?
I floss my teeth twice a day.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And as a result, I have very good checkups.
Uh-huh.
When I go to the dental office, but I hate what it takes to get those good checkups.
Okay, you just don't like flossing your teeth.
Right.
All right.
Why don't you cut it down to once a day?
Well, I guess I could, but, you know, I like to have the dentist say, Good job, Roger. Good job.
You must have very strong feelings about that.
The dentist. Thanks, Roger.
Good job, Roger.
312-981-7200. Text us or give us a call and tell us the chore that you hate. Work, work, work,
work, work, work. To me, I'll be talking to you guys about whether it's housework or your work, what chores you really hate doing. And this is Don. This is a at your house thing that you
Hi, Don.
Have to do.
Good morning, girls.
Good morning.
You made me laugh. I got in the car about 15 minutes ago, and the first thing I heard was Vaseline, anal glands, and rubber gloves. And
they're back.
Sure I had to make sure I had the right station tuned in.
Yeah, that's the right one. So what is your deal?
Well, you know what? I actually changed since I was on hold. I was thinking about something. I have two daughters that moved back home from college, and they're pursuing jobs in the area here. And a wife also. And, you know, it's interesting because about every 3 months I get this request to clean the bathroom drain. And you have to get these little zip things that have teeth on them, and you put them down the drain and get the joy of removing that wonderful collection of hair that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hope. That's pretty disgusting.
It's very disgusting.
I remember when I moved into my house in Glen Ellen, that thing happened where you're taking a shower and the water's building up and building up, and I had to do that, unscrew that, and you just go down and go.
Yeah, so was it somebody else's if it was
somebody else's?
Oh,
yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Wait, what's the tool, Don? I don't know this tool. Kathy, of course, knows all.
They actually sell them in a lot of the hardware stores. I don't want to give any plugs to places, but it's called a zip or something like that. It's a long piece of plastic. It's got a little
hooky
piece that you can put your finger into, like, to hold it, and it's got little teeth on the end of it, and you feed it down into the drain, and then you pull it out. Trust me, it works. It definitely okay. does.
Couldn't you just put liquid plumber down there?
Liquid plumber's kind of hard on pipes.
We're on the septic, so I don't want to take a chance with that.
Yeah.
But the tool works amazing. I mean, I used to use a coat hanger, and this works a lot better, but you can only use it basically one time. You have to throw it out.
Right.
Oh, that makes blow-drying my hair seem like a dream.
Yeah. Don, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. The chore you absolutely hate. Anne.
Oh, my goodness. If it were up to me, I would live in a hotel so someone could change my linens on my bed every day. There is nothing better than getting into a bed with nice, crisp, clean linens. So I hate that. And I hate vacuuming. I bought a Miele vacuum cleaner, and it's much better. It's lighter. It makes the job easier. The cord doesn't get tangled up. But I hate those two jobs.
You still hate it in spite of the fabulous vacuum cleaner.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
You don't wait, one quick question. You don't change your bed linens every day, do you?
Oh, heavens no. I would change them once a year if I could, but obviously I change them much more often than that.
Thanks, Anne. I was talking to one of my grandsons and he was talking about sheets and that he had to change his bed sheets in the apartment, but he didn't have time to get to the laundromat. And I said, don't you have another set of sheets? And he said, what do you think I am, rich? I said, you have a grandmother. Watch your mail for another set of sheets. To just have one set of sheets so that you have to take the sheets off, go wash them, and then bring them back.
I had that in Arizona.
That seemed tragic to me.
For 9 years, I only had one set of sheets for the bed.
Really? But your laundromat was in your house.
Yes.
Right. You didn't have to go out to the laundromat.
No, I needed no
right.
quarters.
Yeah, exactly. 312-981-7200. Call us or text us with the job that you hate doing the most.
What do you hate?
Well, here, we've got Angie up. Let's get Angie while she's here. Hey, Angie.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I can pick up my own dog's poop, no problem. But when I'm walking the dog and I see another dog's poop on the parkway and I've got bags in my hand, well, I'll go and pick it up. But it is so disgusting.
It's so disgusting to pick up another dog's poop.
Another dog's poop.
Isn't that hilarious?
I know. And that product that the guy was talking, it's called Zip It, the thing with the teeth that you put down the drain.
It's a drain claw, right.
Yeah, it's really great.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Angie.
Thank you. Bye.
I had, actually, Lou Manfredini says this forever, and I had a plumber tell me this a couple weeks ago when my kitchen pipes were clogged up. He said, don't ever, ever use your garbage disposal. I said, well, that's what it's for. He says, don't use your garbage disposal. He said, scrape plates, put it in the garbage, start a compost pile. He said, we have had people whose pipes were so clogged that you can't get the thing through them, the electric roto-rooter thing through them, and we've had to repipe their house or repipe those drains. So ever since then, I obviously am not using my disposal anymore. But in the other one, I got one of those things that you set, not a it's like a screen.
It's like a basket thing.
It's like a basket thing, but yeah. It's a screen, mm-hmm. And it catches everything. Mm-hmm. Nothing gets down there. But every couple days,
you got to do that.
You got to go to the, what the hell is that? And it's a combination of little bits of food and grease from stuff. And you can turn it upside down and whack it in the garbage can, but it's still got a situation there. So you have to go with the hot water and this. That I don't like doing that.
Can you
know what?
That...
It's 2 minutes out of my life. But every now and again, when I go, oh, I got to do that.
I know,
okay.
But there's a grossosity factor.
There is. That's what it's called. All right. This is Debbie. What's the thing you hate doing?
Debbie, did you say?
I did.
Oh, hey. Hi.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. The thing I hate doing is dyeing my roots. I save a fortune by doing it at home, but it's a disaster. I have to put a drop cloth down, a drop cloth on the wall so the splatter doesn't get on the wall because it will not come off of paint. It's permanent.
How does it get on the wall?
Cleaning it when you squeeze the bottle, it can splatter.
Oh, okay.
And it happens like you don't think it is, but it is.
What's the color? Know? Deb, what's the color called?
I use Wella Color Charm, and it's a nut. I don't know.
Nutmeg. What's it called?
Oh gosh,
a lovely
desert
one.
Beige.
Something like a 5R or something, and I mix two together.
Okay.
And, oh, that's complicated.
Yeah, I just get them at Sally's Beauty Supply, and yeah.
Okay.
So wait, how often do you do it?
Once a month. It's
once
terrible.
A month. And how soon are we doing it again, Debbie?
Pardon?
How soon are we doing it again?
Doing it for the holidays?
I just did it like 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, but because I'm going with a little darker color, you can see the any little gray roots, like, they mm-hmm. stand out from far away.
There you go.
So, and I don't like to use that touch-up color stick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie's like got this down. Yeah. Debbie's investigated all the possibilities.
And you consider going gray, but the answer is never.
I've seen some people do it very well, but I don't think it will look good on me.
Okay. That's what we all say.
Okay.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Okay.
Bye.
From the text line, chore you hate, I hate making lunches. There was more than one of those for my kids. This mom says, it takes 5 minutes. I hate it. I hate doing season clothes, putting away and taking out. I hate putting away groceries. I don't mind shopping. I don't mind unloading the car. But when I get inside the house, I'm already tired from picking, loading, and unloading. I just want to sit down and have them put themselves away. Hate removing and polishing my nails. Takes too long. Cat litter box every day. That's a good one. I hate cleaning the bathroom. I live... I live with three males in my family who wouldn't pick up a toilet brush to clean, even if they were worried that something would grab them by the keister when they sat down. If you get a chance, go to our Facebook page, Kathy and Judy, and check it out. We're taking a trip, and we hope a bunch of you are going to come with us. We're going to the south of France. All the information is there, the itinerary, the cost, the dates. Check it out and think about whether or not the south of France isn't some place that you've always thought would be charming to visit.
We're very excited.
Yes, we are.
So goodbye, my friend.
Last summer, when I adopted a senior dog, a senior rescue dog, I shared it with you guys, and you were great. You had great, helpful ideas because, honey, as I named her, she'd had kind of a crummy life, it would appear, because she would cower, she would crouch if you came near her. I finally figured out you'd have to come at her from underneath, from, you know, so she could see you coming, and then she was okay. And she, you know, she was great on a leash, and she was a very sweet dog. She was starting to figure out that she was in a safe place, and nobody was going to hurt her. A horrible thing happened this week. I had to have Honey put to sleep. She developed a situation with her back where she would keep falling over. And it was obvious that she was in pain a lot of the time, despite pain medication. And had conversations with the vet. Well, you could do... You could do an MRI, and they could do surgery. This was an old dog. This was a girl who had enough hassle in her life, and it was a hard decision to make, as Judy knows, because I was a wreck yesterday.
It was a tearful.
Oh my God!
Morning, and Kathy kept saying, "I don't know why you say this. I cry so ugly."
Oh,
and
God.
I said, nobody cries pretty.
Some people do. So I don't know. But I woke up at 3 in the morning and just sort of realized that's what I was going to have to do for Honey. And the vet came to the house. They did it at the house because she could barely walk. She would just keep falling down, and she became incontinent. And it for me, it wasn't a difficult decision to make. I felt like I owed that to her at the end of her life, and so we did it. The vet came, they brought a vet tech with them, and it's if you've never done it, it's a very peaceful process. It's a 2-injection process, and for me, every time I've had to do this with a pet, and I thought about it, I think it's 4 or 5 times, I've been with them. And, you know, to comfort them and pet them and talk to them as this is happening and weep. I mean, this was not without a lot of, you know, gasping and weeping. But I talked to somebody this morning that I'm very close to who said, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could stay with my animal when that was happening. And that's what I want to ask you guys. When it's time to end your pet's life, do you choose to be there, or is that too hard for you to even think about?
I couldn't think about my dogs being alone in a sterile room. We didn't have anybody come to the house.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to gather around her with the last dog, there were children to gather around her,
right.
and with Nightmare, there was my then boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and my son, who was beside himself.
Right.
And I think that is some kind of comfort, you know, lessening of fear thing.
Right, right, yeah. And anxiety for the animal, your dog, your cat, whatever, your ferret. 312-981-7200. When that time came for you, what choice did you make? Did you want to stay with your pet, or was it just too hard for you to think about? Colleen.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. You can relate.
I just had to put my dog down 4 weeks ago, and I was with him along with my oldest son and my husband. And it was very difficult to do. But
there was a lot of crying, I'll bet.
There was.
Right. There certainly was in my case, right.
Yes. It's very sad. It's a very hard thing to do. I think I was even avoiding going to the vet because I was afraid of what he was going to say. And then the time came and we brought him in. And I knew in my heart, but my head didn't know. And you know, 51 years old, and this is the first time I've ever had to do this.
Oh, wow. And, yeah.
You know, it was very hard. It was kind of shook me.
But were you glad that you did it? Were you glad that you stayed with your dog through it?
Yes.
Till he slipped away?
Yeah, I was glad. It's just the whole process of getting used to it. The next morning, I'm making lunch for my granddaughter, and I'm cutting the crust off, and I'm frozen, like,
what the hell am I going to do with this crust?
Now.
I always gave it to the dog.
Without your canine vacuum cleaner, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it just throws you completely off.
You're going to get another dog, Colleen?
Not for a while.
Okay. Give you a little time.
Yeah, four weeks is pretty recent.
There you go. We're talking about whether or not you choose to be with your animal when it has to be put down. And this is Veronica. Hi.
Hi, girls. How are you this morning?
All right. Where are you on this?
Well, I'll preface this by saying this happened many, many years ago, and when we had to put our dog down, and I could not go. My former husband and my son went. However, I will say, if the dog would have had to be alone, I definitely would have done it, no matter what. I would have never let the dog be alone. But I'd get choked up even thinking about it.
I know, right.
It's been a long time. But
The dog wasn't alone. But, there were other family members there with him.
As I said, my former husband and my son and I, because I just was, I guess, a coward, and I could not do it.
There's two ways. You can or you can't, and that's what we're talking about. So, Veronica, have you had any second thoughts about it, if you had it to do over again?
Second thoughts, I think you're probably right, because, as I said, I felt like a coward, and I feel like I should have been there with him, because I was his mommy, and I took care of him.
Right.
And,
Right.
As I said, I can't believe I'm getting choked up.
Isn't that something? Yeah,
we've made you feel lousy again.
You know what, Veronica? She or he wasn't alone. Your husband and your son were there. The dog had people there that it was used to and that comforted it at the end. Right.
At any rate, I just wanted to put 2 cents worth in and say how much I enjoy your show and thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Veronica. And we'll be back to more of your calls and texts. 312-981-7200. Can you stay with your pet when it's being put down, or can you not even think about being able to do that?
Hey there, my little dog, would you like to go outside and play with
Kathy and Judy back. You guys heard me talk about my senior rescue this summer. Her name was Honey. And was being the operative word. I had to have her put to sleep this week because she had a back condition that it couldn't be fixed without a remarkable amount of pain and surgery and everything else. And so I chose to let her go somewhat peacefully. And I've talked to people since who have said, how could you do that? How could you be with her? And we did this in the living room. The vet came to the house. She was in a place she knew. She was lying on the floor. I was down there with her.
I think that's a really fortunate thing that you had someone come to your house. I don't think that's always possible.
Right.
And I was just thinking that, sometimes, people deal with grief in so many different ways. And I wonder if sometimes you go to a vet's office and you're trying to be comforting to the dog, but you yourself are so distraught while the dog is still conscious that a vet has ever had to ask somebody to leave the room or to come back when they're calmer.
Oh, wow. Well, once the process starts,
it's very swift.
Yeah, it's pretty swift and gentle. And kind.
It's so gentle.
You
know, you have to kind of wait for the words, he's gone.
Right. Yeah, they have to take the stethoscope and listen to see if there's still a heartbeat. But yeah, they get a sedative first to calm them and sort of put them into a twilight sleep. And then they administer the drug that stops their heart. And it's very peaceful.
I wonder if I wonder if birds get put down.
I don't know. Boy, it would probably have to be a different process because they need to find a vein with animals. I've had a couple cats, had to put cats down and took them to the vet, and they did it at the vet's. But yeah, with Honey, she was 40 pounds and she couldn't walk and I couldn't lift her because she was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very gentle. 312-981-7200. And we're just asking, can you stay with a pet when it's euthanized, or is it too hard for you? And where are you on this? Robin.
Hi.
Hi.
you've given me something else to cry about besides the election. So.
A twofer. Listen to Kathy and Judy.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did this with our dog a couple of years ago. He was old. We had him for 15 years, and it was just obvious that the end was there. And what was remarkable about it was that, you know, I feel these decisions are organic, and mm-hmm. we just knew, you know, it was time.
Right.
We called a lovely organization. I believe the name was called Lap of Love. And this vet came out to the house. Our dog Murray hated the car. He hated the vet, and there was no way that I was going to do that to him at the last moments of his life. So we pulled his bed in the living room, and my husband and I and my daughter were there with him. And I don't regret for 1 second doing it. It was
you got a vet to come to the house.
Yeah,
it was
an organization that does this.
I see.
So
that.
You said Lap of Love.
Lap of Love, I believe it was called. And,
so it's a traveling vet.
I'm sorry. I started communicating with them the week before, trying to get some information because, again, I knew that this was coming. And they made the process. This woman made the process so peaceful and so natural. It was just lovely. And I felt like we gave him, you know, just a lot of love
right
at the end.
Right.
So I didn't even want the damn dog 15 years ago. And it was so hard, but so easy too at the same time, if that makes sense.
And I said, I could not believe my emotional response for a dog I'd had for 3 months. I mean, I've had lifelong pets that I've had put to sleep, and my grief was no less intense honey. Yeah.
But I think it's about how much you invest
in
each other. Rather than the length of time.
Probably, yeah. Because she was an old girl, and I just, you know, I thought I'd have a couple years with her, but that didn't turn out. Robin, thanks for the call.
Sure, thank you.
Okay. And this is Rob. Hi, Rob. This is really interesting.
Hey, hi, Kathy. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
So I had my first Basenji. She was 15 when she passed. I took her to the vet. She loved going to the vet. It was one of her favorite spots, and the vet allowed me to hold her while she did the procedure. And I started breathing with her exactly the same. We were in sync with breathing, and I could feel her just go. And it was very peaceful. I always feel that I have three other dogs, and I always felt that they would be missing their pack member when they didn't know what happened. You know, they would just leave and never come back. So the vet allowed me to take her back home, and I put her down on the living room floor everybody came over and they all sniffed her, and they figured out what was going on. And I had two dachshunds at the time, and I was bawling my eyes out, and they started, you know, they sniffed her and they started jumping up and down and started playing, and they just went on with their lives the way they were going to live their lives. And it made me laugh, and they made me smile. I could never live with just one dog, and I just figure, you know, it's so sad. They don't know what happens to their pack members when you take them away, and they don't know what happens. So,
did you bury the dog on your property then?
Yeah. I have a big pet cemetery.
Right.
And this is Robin Roger.
Oh, hey, Rob. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
But, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, bye-bye.
312-981-7200. A lot of texts coming in and a lot of calls, and we'll never get to all of them. Just, you know, for those of you who choose to be with your pets, or those of you who choose not to be with your pets when they're put down, it's such a very personal decision, and we understand that
there's no right way.
It's your way. It's however works best for you.
Actually, it is. It's the Peanuts.
It sounded Giraldi. Very Peanuts-y. Vince Giraldi or Giraldi or whatever his name is.
So this is our little salute to Thanksgiving. Looking for the dark side, as usual.
We are, after all, Kathy and Judy.
Where is this going to go? I'm scared.
Don't Sam, you can jump in.
So this is two days ago, when I was working at Random Acts of Flowers, one of my friends said to me, I'm throwing Thanksgiving. It's going to be a lot of work. I have half the family that is, not quite half, that is voted for Donald Trump, and I have half that voted for Hillary Clinton. And I have sent a very official-sounding email out to everybody that there is absolutely no politics to be discussed.
Smart.
At our table.
Smart. Just the ground rules.
At the 2 days before,
right.
I had read a story in the paper about people who've changed their plans for Thanksgiving and decided not to go where their opinions would be in the minority because they didn't, apparently no regulation had been set down for where they were going to be, and they felt that they would either have to keep their mouths shut, which was going to be uncomfortable for them, or, get into arguments, which didn't feel very Thanksgiving-y at all. So the question is, have there been some alterations for plans for Thanksgiving in your family? And the second question is, which is kind of an annual question we ask, what do you know is going to happen at your Thanksgiving? Somebody's going to do something or somebody's going to say something that they always say, and it's kind of really annoying.
My mom, Ruth Fruin, and we still laugh about it, and we all say it. My mom could be counted on to say, there's too much food. There's too much food. We have too much food. And she is right. So anyway, what happens in your family? 312-981-7200. Who is so predictable at your Thanksgiving table that you can almost count on them saying something or doing something?
And secondly, have there been any alterations or there some, what's it called when you're worried? Are you worried?
That's what I call it.
Are you worried about something that might come up at your Thanksgiving? This is a very volatile time. A lot of people still don't have skin on.
Right, exactly.
So our number is 312-981-7200. Where are you going for Thanksgiving?
I'm hosting. We're small. Yeah, we're small this year. The boys are still in New York. They both are working in New York. So they'll be back for Christmas, but not Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
My daughter-in-law has to work. So it'll be my son and daughter and the two grandkids on my son's side. So we'll be a small group. We may pick up an orphan or so along the way, but we'll see.
Is anybody helping you?
Kyle will bring some stuff because Kyle's vegan.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I still cook a turkey, but Kyle has a wonderful way with vegan food that uh-huh. I don't. So 312-981-7200 is our number. We're just wondering what you can count on at your Thanksgiving table. Who can you count on saying or doing something that they do every year, whether it's grandpa who you know is going to get loaded, or your aunt who will be the last one to walk in the kitchen after the dishes are done and say, is there some way
can I help?
Right. We had an aunt that was really good at that. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Hey, what can you count on Thanksgiving?
Well, what I could have counted on Thanksgiving, my mother and my mother-in-law are both gone now, but at every Thanksgiving, we could always count on dueling sicknesses. My mother would say, how are you doing, Molly? And my mother-in-law would say, oh, my back is killing me. You don't know what it's like. She said, and my mother would come back with, your back. I got a back and my leg. It's terrible. You can't. And they said, wait, well, you don't know the half of it. My back and my leg. And now I got headaches all the time. It just progressed one to the other to the other. One had to top the other. It could be no end.
Right. Can you top this with sickness?
And then it would progress from my mother, who had two boys, my father, my brother and I, at the Thanksgiving table. And my mother would always come out with, and my brother and I would wait for it. Well, Molly, at least you got a daughter. My brother and I are sitting here at the table. I want to say, Ma, how are you going to get
here,
home?
I'm here, Ma. That's great. At least you got a daughter. That's hilarious. Yeah. Joe, thanks a lot.
And this is Tori.
Hi, Tori. What can you count on at your Thanksgiving dinner?
Probably mayhem, because half voted for Trump, half voted for Hillary, and I voted for John Kasich, and I'm the hostess. And I just can't even imagine what this night's going to bring. No one has seen each other since the election.
So who's throwing the Thanksgiving?
I am.
So you're not. You're not setting any guidelines.
I think I might have to, because otherwise I think really and truthfully we could be on the front page of the Tribune the next day for homicide.
So is your family a family that tends to argue at Thanksgiving or when they get together?
I think they're arguing. They always think they're disgusting. Mm-hmm. I think what I might do is greet everybody at the door with a really strong drink and then say, let's have a really fun night, because I am concerned. But uh-huh. I think it'll be okay. It's a good group. They all just have their feelings.
Uh-huh. And they're vocal about them.
They can be extremely vocal.
Oh, well, we wish you luck.
I feel like Switzerland, because I really did vote for John Kasich, and I really did not like either candidate.
But did you vote for John Kasich in the certainly in the primaries, but how about in the presidential race?
No. I wrote him in the presidential. I could not vote.
Oh, you wrote him in. Okay. Okay.
I did, which I know it didn't count, but I just, in my mind, could not do either.
Okay.
And I really was one of those people that walked into the polling booth on November 8th thinking, who should I vote for? And I just couldn't do it.
Okay. So, all right, Tori.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is Anita. Hey, Anita.
Hi, ladies. How are you today?
Good. How are you handling Thanksgiving at your house?
Okay, so I've been married 32 years. My husband is a good guy. He has never, ever, ever been as vocal about anything since this last election. So what I told everybody is no talk of politics. The only person who is against it is my husband. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find my sheerest blouse and wear it with no bra. And I'm 57.
And, okay. And how is that going to?
It will distract them. They'll be like, what is wrong with Anita? She's crazy. So,
are you really going to do this?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Right.
But seriously, I got to do something, because I think everyone will respect it. But I know that people try to push a little with, well, you know, oh, it's such a lovely day today. Oh, by the way, you know, this election, stop. No, don't do that. So as far as what I can count on me having a couple shots of vodka before everybody gets there.
and wearing a bra.
Yes.
And at all times.
By the way, ladies, it's better than Prozac. I know.
Wearing a bra?
No. A couple shots of vodka before your guests come.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I would
never. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the WGN listening audience.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
Hope it goes well at your house.
Thank you. Me too. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
312-981-7200 is our number. Call us or text us.
I got the Thanksgiving blues.
What are you doing? How many for Thanksgiving?
Well,
14?
There's probably about 20.
Wow. And does your table hold that many, or do you set up another table?
No, my friend Barbara's tables.
Oh, okay.
There are two tables, and it's generally, it's like a friends that have become
family.
Thanksgiving family.
Right, yeah.
And the one thing I know, and this doesn't sound like me, but I look forward to it every year, is there's a man who I believe may have voted for Donald Trump, who is the most genteel, lovely, cool guy. And he gives extemporaneously the best, what do you call that?
Grace?
Prayer. Yeah.
Before the meal?
He does. And if something has happened to someone, or we have to remember somebody, and I don't know. I just think he must have, it's like he must have studied at a seminary or something, because they're just wonderful graces.
Oh, so you look, that's one of the things that you always look forward to.
I do. And I do look forward to the turkey.
There you go.
But I have a new thing about eating now, which is that I'm going to eat everything I want, but I'm only going to eat until I'm full, and I'm going to pay attention to when I'm full. And it really works out. Hmm. Hello.
What a crazy thing to do that. yeah.
I don't mind doing it, because I feel that I can have whatever I want. I don't have to get an all egg white omelet.
Right.
I'm not going to eat the whole
right.
omelet
yeah.
at one time.
Yeah.
So
understood.
I know.
One of our texters says, on my husband's side, it's tradition right after the meal is all cleaned up for someone to ask the host when we're ordering the pizzas. That stems from when Grandpa, way back when, always asked that question.
I wonder if they get pizzas after that.
No, whatever. It was probably
like,
yeah, right. And one of our girlfriends texted and said, Merry Medical Christmas, please.
Can't.
Merry Medical Christmas for years was a great Kathy and Judy feature. And I want to say started back in the early 2000s or maybe even in the 90s.
Oh, in the 90s.
In the 90s when it was not uncommon for people. We weren't talking about just general. Mike had a heart attack, but he's doing better. We're talking about the Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah letters that included the most disgusting fluid and pus and bowel-filled descriptions of what had happened to people during the year. And every year, people sent us copies of Christmas letters that they had received, and it was fabulous. But we noticed that gradually they became less and less popular. And we'd like to think that when we die, our legacy will be that we discouraged or that we had some effect on the demise of sickening Merry Christmas letters. If you get a Christmas letter, not that just says we were sick and
threw up once.
Exactly. We're talking the most unbelievable descriptions that people sent in holiday letters. If we got enough of them, we might do a segment on it. But we're thinking that thing is put a fork in it. It's not going to happen.
So I have something that is joyous as Merry Medical Christmas once was. And
excellent.
We want to remind you that today we've announced, and it's on our Facebook page, that we are going on a trip and we want you to come with us to Provence in France. And it's southern France. It's glorious villages. It's glorious lavender and wine and surprising views. And there's going to be Marseille is part of it, and Aix-en-Provence, and where Van Gogh painted, and Cézanne, and the whole thing is all organized. All you have to do is show up and brush your teeth in the morning. Breakfast will be ready for you. We're staying in a 5-star hotel and a 4-star hotel. We're going to be in 2 separate towns, and it's going to be kind of a for me, it's going to be one of my trips of a lifetime.
Right. Look at the itinerary.
It's up on Facebook.
Right.
And then if you're interested in more information, stevebertrandtravel.com. That's the one to contact.
Or you can call him. Here's his phone number. He carries his cell phone with him. He may actually pick up his phone and go, this is Steve. Try it. 847-606-6065. That's 847-606-6065. Don't call them unless you want to go on the trip.
Right.
Right.
But if you're inquiring
nice.
About the trip. And also, it's in May. We're leaving on May 10th. And it's a 9-day trip. That's including travel. And it's been laboriously planned by Steve and Kathy and me, and it's
truly there right. were so many phone calls back and forth, and maybe this, and how about this, and no, and not
my
that.
My friend said it's not worth going
right
there.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we really kind of curated this and are so very, very thrilled to be going and really want you guys going. One of our girlfriends from our former trip
already said, yeah, Sheila.
Sheila said she's already filling out her information things. So
we'll look forward to seeing her again.
Yeah,
and maybe some
very
of you
much.
Girlfriends who were on our last trip to Greece and to Turkey will decide to come along. That would be great. We'd love to meet some new girlfriends. And this might just be a fun trip for you to consider for next May. We'll be back right after
what
this.
What will I wear?
And Amy Guth is here getting ready for the business lunch.
Hello.
Hello, Amy.
How's it going?
All right.
Oh, my gosh. I was back there listening to your earlier conversation about putting pets down.
Yeah.
And just crying my eyes out thinking of my dear little boy, Chairman Meow. I was with him his last moments on this earth. And he was with me almost his whole life. I found him just as he was opening his eyes. He was a tiny little boy.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So he was with me almost his whole life.
16, 17 years? That's about cat life?
He, you know, he didn't make it quite that long, close. He, yeah. You know, cats are great until they're not, right? They're healthy until they're not. And then all of a sudden, everything falls apart on them. Yeah. And I knew it was time, and he was suffering. And I told the vet, when he first got ill, I said, tell me when it's about me, not him. When I'm doing this for myself. And she said, today's that day.
Wow.
And
okay.
I appreciate her, you know, being straight with me. And there was no question. I didn't want him to be alone. I wanted to hold him and be with him his last moments. And it was, I still think about it and get
choked
up. It's
hard,
so hard.
But good that you, glad that you
but
did
the right,
it.
Right. The right for move. You. But right. hard for me. Yeah. But the right move for
Absolutely.
Him, for sure.